Antwort, ihr Wort von, ihr Wort Wünsche von. Amen. Today in the Armenian Church, it's called Hun Vayigentan. For us Americans that grow up in this area, it's the Mardi Gras of the Armenian Church. It's the last day before Lent begins. Tomorrow, Lent begins, and it is this time that we remember, as I've said for years, it is this time where in the ancient church, those that were going to become Christian, those that were studying the new faith, which were called catechumens, they would learn and study and fast during these 40 or 50 days. And then on Easter Eve, they would be baptized into the new faith. Today, we don't think that much of that. We don't have many people that are being baptized at an older age. Most of our children are baptized very young. And as a result, we now think that Lent has become this thing that we have to deprive ourselves of something during Lent. As I said, we sometimes think, okay, it's now Lent begins tomorrow, I'm not allowed to eat chocolate, or I'm not allowed to drink coffee, or I'm not allowed to eat meat, or I'm not allowed to do this or that. I'm supposed to suffer during these 40 or 50 days. But as I said, we sometimes then think God is going to be happy with us. If I don't eat that hamburger today, God's going to be happy and he's going to bless me. Or if I don't eat this or do that, he's going to be happy with me. And so that's why I'm giving up Lent. I'm giving up meat for 40 days. I'm not drinking milk for 40 days. But in reality, God doesn't care if you give it up for these 40 days or if you give it up your entire life. If you don't change who you are, if you don't change the essence of it. I see people, in my family included, not my immediate family, distant family, not throwing anyone under the bus, but that will give up chocolate, but they'll eat something else. Sugar, they'll give up sugar, but they'll eat sugar-free, substitute sugar-free chocolate. Or they give up ice cream and they eat vegan ice cream. Okay? It doesn't do anything. Non-dairy creamer instead of using milk in coffee. This doesn't count. All we're doing is we're saying, oh, I'm not going to eat this, so God is happy. But exactly, wishy-washy. But I'm going to do this instead, so my life doesn't get interrupted by this. This is not the purpose of Lent. Again, the purpose of Lent in the ancient church is to have people prepare for baptism. And it is during Lent that we should remind ourselves of our own baptisms. Many of us don't remember our baptisms. Unless you were baptized at an older age, many of us don't even remember having it happen. We take our parents' word for it that we were baptized. And for some, there were no pictures at that time. So we don't even have that to prove that we were baptized. But Lent is this time that we should remember our baptisms and remember why we are Christians. Baptism is often viewed as the following: the washing away of sins, becoming a Christian, joining the body of Christ, and becoming a child of God, of being adopted by the Father. And all these things are true. But the real purpose, if we look at the prayers of the baptismal service, is something much, much more than that. It's during the baptismal service that a child, a person, becomes a soldier of Christ. They become a warrior of Christ. And it is during the baptismal service that we give them the tools to use against Satan. One of the very first acts in the baptismal service is we go to the back of the church. And as we go to the back of the church, we turn to the west, where Satan is usually represented in the west, because God is in the east, where the sun rises. So we turn to the west where there's darkness, and we raise our hands up and we renounce Satan. We say we renounce Satan and all of his deceit, his wiles, his counsels, his goings, his evil will, his evil angels, his evil ministers, his evil agents, and his every evil power. Renouncing, we renounce. And we say this three times, because no one pays attention the first time you say anything. The second time is usually a hiccup. But the third time really means it. This is why we do things in threes in the Armenian church, so that it really sets in. and we turn to the West and we renounce Satan and we tell him we want nothing to do with you. In fact, what we are doing is we are declaring war on you. We declare war on you. And then we turn to the East, to the altar, and we profess our faith in Christ. We profess our faith in Christ and that we are now part of this army, the army of God. In other churches, when they turn to the West, they actually spit to the West. They spit in Satan's face. And they say, we want nothing to do with you anymore. We don't belong to you anymore. We belong to something better. And we see this in the prayers of the church during the baptismal service. Lots of words that are used, such as adversary, an enemy, and even martyr. Because we become martyrs during our baptisms and later on in life. This is why during the baptismal service we have the nautilus, right? The string that's red and white mixed together. And this symbolizes purity, but it also symbolizes sacrifice. That we will be sacrificed. And the word nahadag, which is usually translated as martyr, literally means the first attack. The ones that are in the front line. Anyone who has seen the movie Braveheart, it's one of my favorite movies, anyone that's seen the movie Braveheart knows, you send in the first line, and they usually don't come back. They usually die. Then you send in the arrows, and then the cavalry comes, and they save the day. Likewise, we are that first wave of attack on Satan. And though we may die, our general, who is on the horse, Christ, will come and give us resurrection again, will raise us from the dead, that death is only temporary. It's not eternal. But probably the most important prayer that I find in the baptismal service is the anointing of the child. And we anoint different parts of the body. We anoint the forehead, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, the ears, the hands, the heart, the feet, and the back. And when we anoint the back of the child, we say a specific prayer. And it says, this seal in the name of Jesus Christ be to you a shield of strength, thereby to quench all the fiery darts of the evil one. Because when Satan attacks, he does not attack head on. Anyone who is a good enemy knows not to attack head on. They attack from behind, when you least expect it. When your life is going wonderfully and beautifully and nothing is wrong, it's then that Satan attacks. And so we ask and pray that this seal, this shield be upon this child from now on, that he or she be able to withstand Satan's attacks. Currently, unfortunately, we see that the world is entering into another war. And we don't know where this war is going to go or what's going to be of it. As we see Russia invade Ukraine this week, and only less than 2 years ago, we saw our enemies invade our country. And the world at that time stood silent and did nothing about it. And some people, unfortunately, have made the unfortunate, I'll say, expression that Ukraine deserves what they're getting. Because during our war, Ukraine gave the Azeris phosphorus to use against us. And this is true. They have done this. But it is unfortunate that we have individuals that believe that they deserve this war. Nobody deserves war. No nation, our friends or our foes, deserve any war of any type. Thinking this way is, as the world says it, an eye for an eye. But Christ says, you have heard eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth, but I tell you, love your enemies. Pray for them. Help them see me. Wherever there is pain, wherever there is suffering, wherever there is death, God hurts. And where God hurts, and when he hurts, we too should hurt at that fact. So the question then arises, how do we fight evil in this world? How do we free ourselves from Satan's control in this world? How do we help those in Ukraine? What can we do? We can use the very weapons that God has given us and we use against Satan in this war against this aggression in Ukraine. Prayer fasting and almsgiving, helping the poor, helping those in need. Prayer is this idea, this communication with God, but also unifies and unites all Christians, the body of Christ, together, where we become one. This is why communal prayer, right, church, is so important. Anyone can go into their room and pray, and I hope you do. But we all have to come together at times and pray together. We can all eat in different rooms, but it's different eating in our room by ourselves and eating with a family together. That's what we do here. And when we pray, we show and tell God we depend on you and we trust you and we want you to guide us in this world. Fasting is a physical act. A physical act that demonstrates and shows that we don't depend on this world and the things of this world, but we are free from it and that we are only dependent upon God, just like prayer. You can move those.
Yes.
You can move those. I think they have an ice cream party today, so I don't think they're coming. And then the final one is almsgiving, helping the poor, helping those in need. In Armenian, the word is bohor mutyun, and we think of this as mercy. This is what bohor mutyun means, is mercy. And we sometimes think, oh, you're a pitiful little thing, I'm going to try and help you get out of this. That's not what mercy is in the Armenian church at all. Bohor mutyun literally means making the way smooth. When we help someone, this is what almsgiving is. This is what helping the poor is. It's we're trying to pick them up and make their way a little bit smoother towards God. Towards salvation. Not doing things for them, but helping them get on their feet so that they can help someone else get on their feet. This is what bohor mutyun is. And there are those cynics in the world that say, if God exists, why should we have to pray? Why should we fast? Why should we even have to give alms? If God exists, why doesn't he stop this war now and stop all this aggression that's going on? And I can guarantee you, God will ask the same question. Why don't you do that? Because that is our job as a Christian, as humans. It's our job to stop these wars. Not to say, God, you stop it. It's our job to make others see God and have them stop this war too. And this is what prayer, fasting, and almsgiving does. So as we enter this Lenten season that starts tomorrow, right, because today, again, is Pum Parigentan, the Mardi Gras of the Armenian Church. Tomorrow, as we go and start Lent, I ask that we remember that we are soldiers of Christ, that through baptism we have become warriors. We have declared war on Satan, and he will stop at nothing to destroy us and stop us from fighting him. He will send us unfortunate incidences. He will send us tragedies. He will send us poverty. He will send us sickness. He will send us all these things to try and destroy our faith in our Lord. But it is up to us to remember our baptisms, to continue to fight, and to use the tools that God has given us, that Satan cannot take away from us. Prayer, fasting, and almsgiving. Amen.